At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Here's a wild one. A man was taking a bath. He was injured when a car came crashing into his home.
Didn't see that coming.
Crash occurred Sunday afternoon in northwest Oklahoma City. I'm not drunk or anything, obviously, said Jeremy Stewart, the driver of the car that hit the house.
Did he say obviously?
I just fell asleep driving home, but I'm awake now. Stewart drove his Volkswagen Jetta through a brick wall into the bathroom of the home. He had to have been booking it, said the homeowner, Wynn Melton. Melton was in her kitchen making a sando at the time of the accident. I heard a boom, heard him screaming, and the house shook. Melton said she thought the crash was a bomb or earthquake, ran to check on her son. I could see something was terribly wrong. Get me out of here! Get me out of here! I need a towel! Her son was trapped in the bathtub. Bricks were on top of him. The framing was all on top of him. Firefighters quickly arrived and pulled the car out of the bathroom. The tub, the toilet, everything gone, according to the Oklahoma City Fire District Chief, Gary Dean Melton. He was pulled out of the hole that the car created. As for Stewart, they gave him an energy drink and a ticket for distracted driving.
Damn.
Our question, what happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
From the text line, it says, I was at Ocean Beach, Maryland in July of 2017. When a huge storm came on our last day, me and my brother and cousin, we decided to go out and body surf. Well, the waves were almost 10 feet high, and we all thought we were going to die. My cousin ended up a few hundred yards down the beach, and we all got pulled out by lifeguards. All right, well, at the end of the summer, not going to Ocean City, Maryland, but what, 70 miles up the road, I guess?
Oh, not that far.
I was saying, I don't even think it's that far.
So real close, in Delaware, Bethany Beach, and my kids begging me to go. I'm going to go. Yes, fine. We're there for a week. It's a beach house. My in-laws rent it every year. My son loves to swim, loves splashing around in the water, insists he's not getting in the Atlantic Ocean. There's a pool, right?
Oh, that's
so
fine.
He will go to the pool. He will go to the beach. But he's like, I won't
what
get
is
in the
his,
water.
What is his fear?
Well, that's what I said. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to go to the beach and not get in the water? That's dumb as hell. You don't need a tan, my brother. So what mm-hmm. What is the deal? And he goes, it's the waves. Because
oh,
that part
right.
of the
okay, okay.
so choppy. Right, you can go to the Pacific, and it's different kind of breakers to come in, but the Atlantic, basically, they break on you.
They do.
Has he swam in it before?
So they've gone there probably three times they can remember, but they were there last year. I was still working, so they were there, and I guess he just got the S beat out of him by these big-ass waves, because it's relentless.
Also, he's getting bigger. He's getting taller, he's getting bigger.
The waves are not getting bigger, the waves are not getting smaller, but you are getting taller, the waves aren't as bad. He's like, nope. Because he explained, yeah. He said, look, man, I know I'm getting taller, but where they're hitting me, basically in his chin down, he's like, I'm not so much taller that it's a difference. And he said the problem was he just couldn't stand up. And it's hard to explain, but when those waves go back out to sea, they do everything they can to take you with them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're used to it, you just kind of brace yourself different. I guess he had a slow learning curve last year. But
man,
he's like, he will not
first
get
of all,
up.
Miles and I talk about it all the time. I love swimming in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
But I have gotten crush.
It will beat your ass, man.
You get spent. You get
spun around. That's the fun of it.
Well,
to me.
What I mean when you go down and you get wiped out, you will spin like a washing machine.
Yeah,
and you do not. You have no clue which way is up. And I've swam as hard as I could to the surface and banged my head into the sand at the bottom of the ocean, 10 feet down. Like, oh, God, because it pulls you out.
Yeah, but that's what I think the fun of it is. So, like, when you know that's going to happen, that's kind of your thing. It's like, look, dude, they're going to either they're going to blast your ass back onto the beach or they're going to suck your ass out of the water. But it's not like they suck your ass a mile and a half out.
Also, hate.
But he's not having it.
The other thing is when things swim into you pretty hard and you're like, oh, man, what was that? Because you feel the bump and you look down and the water's all brown so you don't know and you're like, okay.
Dude, I was in Mexico a couple of years ago, a castle, and it was a very crowded beach, Pacific, and where the water came into this cove, it came in pretty hard. No big deal, but splashing around, having a good time. And something hit my leg, man, and I jumped the hell out of the water and freaked out. It was the hat for my head.
Oh.
It had gone into the water, gotten wet, and hit me with the brim. But, man, I thought something was biting my leg. I'm like, oh, my God.
I contend to this day I kicked a shark because I've been... Ocean City, Maryland, on a boogie board out past the where the waves crash.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it had to be at least over, probably up to my head, if not over it. And something I kicked. Yep. It was like the same height as me, but same thing. I mean, I got out of that water very quick. Also, for the guy, did he say, did he text that in? He was in Ocean City,
Maryland?
Yeah, he
texted that in 2017. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. For people, most people listening to us have never been there.
Yeah.
It's a strip of land. It's a peninsula. But when those storms move in, they put on the air raid sirens.
Right.
You know to get the hell off that beach.
Yes. What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
What up, guys?
Hola.
Hola. Okay. This happened back when I used to live down in Cali. There's a lake down there. Northern California, called the Lake Berryessa. And anybody that lives up here knows this lake because there's a rock that we used to jump off of. But adjacent to the rock is the highway that takes you to the rock. And about, you know, a few feet from the, well, I want to say a few feet, you know, a walk from the rock is the bridge that goes over the part of the lake that takes you to the rock. Well, we used to jump off both. And being that we're in drought-stricken California, that water level was, you know, down quite a ways. So we would the Yolo County Sheriff wouldn't jack you up too much if they caught you jumping off the rock because that was private property. Where if they caught you jumping off the bridge, that's public property, and that would have got you an attempted suicide charge.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Because people would be down on the boats yelling up at the people at the bridge, jump, because we used to jump in groups. And, oh my God. We see, because they're on the lookout. They tell us, you know, not to jump if they see, you know, because the Yolo County Sheriff would be sitting their boats just around the bend of the rock, and you just see, like, the tip of their boats, and they just be up there just with binoculars, just eagle-eyeing us. They're like, just please jump off that bridge. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they would just, people would jump off, they just come out of the woodwork. Scuba divers would come up out of the water with their ticket book. Like, here you go. Yeah.
What is the fine for attempted suicide? Because it always seems a little dicey to me. You know, if you truly think I'm trying to commit, you know damn well we're doing this for recreation. But if you truly think someone's going to commit suicide, like, what is your punishment?
And if you, God forbid, you do you get a ticket?
I mean, like, what do you,
you know? I don't know the amount. I never got slapped with one because I didn't get caught jumping off the bridge, but I usually stuck to the rock. But I never quite found that out. But I'm sure it was hefty.
That does seem odd. You're gonna find somebody like they're already in a terrible headspace.
You think you're going to ruin?
I don't think a financial fine is going to.
Well, $35. Thanks.
If you're intoxicated, you got cuffs put on you. I mean, and 9 times out of 10, people were intoxicated jumping off that bridge.
Well, sure.
Yeah. It was because with the drought, it was at least 50 feet off the water.
Oh, I'd have to be drunk to do that.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you were falling, like that dude said earlier, you're falling forever, like you take 2 breaths before you hit the water, you know? Feet, first. I mean, your arms, because the air pressure would just be vertical, and your hands would slap that water, so, oh, my God, you're underwater holding your hands like, screaming underwater like, because they stink, so, oh, my
right.
God.
But you would keep doing it anyway, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
those are catwalk under a highway bridge. We would drop from that all the time. But the problem was you had to drop between the beams of the bridge.
Right.
So the freaky part was just making it through the gap in the beams, and once you got through there,
you're good to go.
Well, hopefully, if you don't dislocate your shoulder.
We keep talking about ocean. I swear, I think swimming in rivers is the most dangerous.
I would agree.
Because of the currents.
I would absolutely
then,
agree.
Especially, you know, I know.
Logs.
Right, and us, for this time of year, like, it gets a little warm on the weekends, right? But those rivers are freezing.
What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Miles, you can almost relate to this one. Text came in. It says, I was swimming with wild dolphins, and a female started masturbating on my foot.
I don't know anything about it.
Dolphins are freaky. When you said you took your kids, was it Atlantis in the Bahamas? Mm-hmm. And they said, don't rub their belly or just make sure you don't get close to their genitalia.
Don't go low to the hoo-ha.
And because what would happen? As they're explaining,
grab your ass and drag you down to the bottom of the lagoon.
And start having sex with you?
That is correct.
Good Lord, man.
You know why they know that? It's happened before.
Yep.
What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
I remember it was that dolphin, like, what was it, off the coast of Ireland or something. And people had to stop swimming. It kept humping people.
That was, what, like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
And I'm being nice. I think that dolphin was doing bad
stuff.
Yeah,
it was seriously. Like, right, you'd go swimming, and the dolphin's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I swing both ways, baby. Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello?
Hola.
Hola. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, man. Thank you.
Okay. Well, shoot, before I tell my story, like, I forgot. I met you guys a long time ago at the last Ozfest where Ozzy was at. And before I ever even started listening to you guys, I met you. And I didn't even, I wish I would have known I was going to be a big fan later. I mean, that's great.
Well, Ozzy kind of distracted from that, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. Well, my story is back when I was 16. I got a job on a fishing trawler that we turned into a tugboat. We were taking it through the Panama Canal to put some houses on it in Aberdeen here and take it up to Dutch Harbor. But, like, a week after we went through the Panama Canal, we were going about 12, 3, 4, 5 miles an hour. And I had just got done prepping dinner, and I went to bed. It was about 2 a.m. And hour into sleeping, a ton of water starts rushing into my room. Apparently, we hit something, and a small hole got put in the bow of the ship, and we were taking on water. It was a small enough amount to where the crew could jump over the side and patch the hole. We didn't think anything of it. We're going about our day the next day. Same thing. I prep dinner, go to bed, or I finish dinner, go to bed. And then wake up about 3 hours later because the aft end of the ship is being pulled down and I got knocked out of my bed and thrown to the ground. Apparently the same thing that hit the bow of the boat hit the barge we were pulling and it was taking on water really fast and pulling us down. So we had to stop dead in the water off the coast of Guadalajara, and the Navy had to come out with helicopters and stuff and land on the small part of the barge that was still showing. And the divers went down, fixed the patch, the hole and stuff. And that was super scary because we almost died two days in a row.
What hit the boat?
We don't know. We don't know.
Wow, but you ended up still towing that thing all the way up to Dutch Harbor.
We did. They patched it up. We went into L.A., had some more repairs done to it, and we got it up to Aberdeen here. We loaded all the houses on it, and then we took it up to Dutch Harbor.
How long does that trip take?
It took 6.5 months. From the start, we started in Galveston, Texas, did some final prep work for the boat. But that was pretty nice. I had a rental car. I got to drive up and down the coast to the Walmart to fill up the ship full of stuff. Nothing better than, you know, being 16 and driving on the coast in a rental car.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's, and I've heard it's beautiful down there.
How long does it take to get through the canal? Because you guys are on what, east to west? I mean, because I've heard it is a very slow process.
Well, from start to finish, it only took about 8 hours. But
really?
When we got there, the second we got there, or not the second we got there, we were pulling in to, I forget the name, Cologne, and the Navy actually contacted the captain and told him to stand down. He was like, you guys need to, you're like, something in line, we're doing war games. So the entire U.S. Navy, like 12 or 15 warships, like 8 or 9 submarines, a bunch of other carriers and stuff, they all got to go through before us. So we had to sit there and wait 4 days for all these other ships and submarines and stuff to go through.
Now, are you allowed to just go and tool around Panama City if you want while this is going on?
Yes.
See, I wouldn't mind these breaks too
much. At 16, man,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to take 6.5 months anyway. Yeah, give me a couple landlocked days.
Yeah, but that took me to a couple bars there, so if you want to make a man out of me. I waited until we were done with our trip to tell him that I was already a man before that trip.
Well, yeah, of course, I'm going to buy you drinks.
Yeah, why not?
Let me ask you that. Would you do it again?
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's crazy.
That kind of sounds awesome. Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a life experience.
It is. Yeah. My problem is you just know for a factory down the boat, it's too much work. Like, we were watching something the other day, and it showed a farmhouse, and my wife's like, ooh, I really like that. I said, well, I do too, but the problem is there's too much work because it was a working farm. Like, they had done something to the house to make it cool, and it was very cool. But then the other scenes on the feeding horses and plowing all this, and I go, like, Everything about this seems cool except that.
I want a barn house.
Right. Now, I don't want a barn. I don't want a farm.
I want a barn house where you can shoot hoops in your living room.
Yeah, that's my wife would love that. My problem you know is I mean? Where they're located is not where I want to be.
That, right. I go, that's the issue. I know a lot of women that like that. They're like, it's absolutely. That's what I want to do. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think you fathom how much work you got to put in to live on a farm.
Yeah, man. And I have zero interest in that. What time do you get up? Out. It's just that easy. You know? Yeah,
all right. I just kind of live in better, Ted. You just get the barn and you live in the house. You don't have to have a farm.
Oh, no. I'm 100% with you. That's awesome. Yeah. I used to play in a Wednesday night pickup game because this guy lived up in Edmonds. He was like a friend of a friend, and he had like one of those structures, and he had a half court in there.
Nice.
We would go up there and play 3-on-3.
What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, George. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. How you guys doing?
Hola. Doing great, George. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? I got a pretty spotty signal.
No, you're good, man.
Oh, no worries. So what I want to let you guys know is back when I think I was about 18, a bunch of us guys from high school went up to up the coast, it's in Australia called Port Macquarie. Everybody, one of us got like drunk out of our brains because we can drink at 18 back there. And the next morning I decided to get up and take my surfboard and go out, but there was a storm. I can't remember it. It probably wasn't a cyclone, but a very big storm. Decided to go surfing. Nobody else was there. And the first wave I got tumbled down, and I think you were saying before, when you go, your head's going into the sand and you don't know whether you're going to come back up or not. And I did not know. Next thing you know, I'm like about 3 foot away from the rocks of a breakwater that comes out next to a saltwater estuary river. And I thought my life was gone. But I popped out in the middle of the estuary, which was the tide was running in, and some fishermen's on the rocks yelling at me, "Your surfboard." And because I had a leg rope, and I was too stupid to think, okay, why don't I just pull the leg rope in and get on my surfboard and get, and I ended up floating down the river, going into the middle of town and then having to walk all the way back to the campsite with my surfboard under my arm with all these people looking at me, tourists and all that sort of stuff. But the stupid thing is I got back and my buddies were all still drunk and asleep and they didn't believe me when I said what happened.
Wouldn't that be one of the most, isn't it one of the most dangerous places as far as sharks, where the rivers and the tributaries meet the ocean as far as where they go and feed and all that? Like, basically, you've just floated down, like, where all the sharks are waiting to eat, right?
And those guys over there on the breakwater, as I'm going down, they're looking at me going, who is this idiot floating down there?
Because I'm sure,
name's George, well, I'm the idiot.
There's a reason the fishermen are there, because the sharks are going to eat those fish, too. So.
Right.
And that's what they say. So the tribute is, I'm not sure whether it's when the tide's coming in, the tide's going out, they got all the charm and all whatever, and that's where the sharks come in. But, yeah, that was smart, right?
Hey, George, just so you know, a text came in. I'll read it verbatim. Please tell sexy Australian dude to call back every day, quote, women everywhere.
Yes. And send in your legitimate Bloomin' Onion recipe to us.
I eat Bloomin' Onions every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Kookaburra wings. Now that's a knife.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think seeing a guy walking down the street in Australia with a surfboard, I'd be like, Australia.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it another thought.
Yeah. What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KAISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Coming up at 4:30, who sucks less? Right after emails on our question, what happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say, Steve, I'm pretty sure it was you last week who totally blistered that donkey about you mispronouncing Hagen. I absolutely loved it.
Mispronouncing? What did I mispronounce?
Oh, that was me. The grocery store.
Oh,
it was you? Oh. Yeah, Hagen.
Hagen. I still don't know which way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was super awesome. Anyway.
People are real fired up about that.
I did not know. Who knew?
You dumbass. Sorry.
Yeah, you guys went off on him. That was great. I loved it. Down in Humboldt County for Reggae on the River, and we were camped just a few feet off the river, and just downstream from our campsite was a nice little swimming hole. and some guy decided to get cute and block the pumper truck for the porta potties. And by day two, it was like dodging mines swimming in that hole.
I wouldn't be swimming in that hole.
Yeah, I'd avoid that at that point.
Yeah, I did, but you know, the amount of drugs that got passed around down there, it was one of those where you didn't really think you were seeing what it was until, you know, a couple of tampons came down, and it was a free-for-all where we were at that campsite, because the pumper truck, I mean, long story short, but the pumper truck couldn't get in. The hose wasn't long enough, and one night I got some free mushrooms from a guy and decided I'd be, you know, a good Samaritan and take the free offering on an empty stomach, and went to the porta potty, and this big giant guy comes walking out, and he's missing a sleeve because there's no toilet paper.
Oh.
And I open the door to the porta potty, and the S is crowned, totally crowned to the top of the seat. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my whole life.
Could you see his sleeve sitting in the corner?
It was on top of the pile.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. I think there's a reason the older you get, the more of the festival lifestyle at times. Like, oh, I'm just going to sleep in my own bed.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Unless I have an RV.
Man, they pumped the port Monday. So we're off on Monday, and I have some people staying in my house. Six of us are sitting in the backyard. It is a nice day. We're just enjoying it. So they're doing construction on two houses behind us. And at the end of their day, the porta potty pump truck came up. That's when we went in. I cannot explain the wave of stink that hit us. It was, and like I said, it was such a nice day. And we're chilling. I'm drinking beer. The ladies are drinking wine. I mean, it's that kind of day, right? Kids are outside playing. And you could hear the truck pull up. Didn't really give it any thought. I knew what it was. Didn't give a thought. About 45 seconds, just like, oh, my God, yep. Man. It was like we all just grabbed our glasses and went inside.
It happened to me in Burien 2 weeks ago.
Really?
I was at a stoplight. I'm sitting there. I'm like, golly, man, what is that smell? And two-lane road, keep going down the road, following this truck. And then I look, I'm like, oh, that's a septic truck.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a porta potty truck. I think it was like when you suck out septic systems.
Sure.
That kind of thing on people's homes.
Either way, crap smells like crap.
Yeah, then it all hit me. I was like, oh, I got to close the sunroof. Like, this is just absolutely horrific.
You learn when you go to enough festivals, too. Like, some of the Honey Bucket guys, like, drive around all day. They listen to the show. So, like, one year on, like, Thursday night, I saw one of the Honey Bucket guys. He's like, Ted Smith, like, what's up, dude? I'm like, hey, tell me what time you're coming by in the evenings. And he told me, and me and my buddies would time it out. You'd get in there. They were spotless. We'd do one of the S's, and then we'd go over and take a shower.
That's the move, man.
Oh, it's beautiful.
What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nicole. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. Hola.
Hola.
So this was a long time ago. This was back in the twilight craze time. I was in my late 20s, and at the time, my husband thought that he would take his family and his wife on that twilight drive and, you know, go see the cleats and all that.
The nothing.
We went camping.
Is it worth it, even as a Twilight fan, is it worth it when you get to Forks? No. Yeah. Okay.
They have one little store where they sell merchandise, if I remember correctly.
It was a little anticlimactic, that I'll say that. So we're at
kind way of putting it.
We're at Queets Beach camping, like that is annoying to me because I live in the woods on an acre, and if I'm going to go in the woods and go camping, I don't want to have my neighbor right next to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't have neighbors right next to me on a normal day. So here we are. We're at the beach, and my kids are in the water. They're 6 and 9. And my 9-year-old, she was born preemie. She never really recovered in weight. So at 9 years old, she was probably about 25, 30 pounds spitting wet.
Okay. Damn.
Okay. If you know kids, that's a really tiny kid. So she's about the same size as her 6-year-old sister. And I'm sitting there taking pictures of them in the water. And my husband, he's actually a captain in the Army for watercraft. And I didn't see it when I was taking the pictures. But all of a sudden, this wave comes. And it was riptide. And I dropped the camera. It took my 6-year-old first. This is my testament to let your girls grow long hair. Because that 3-foot ponytail saved your life. I ran in that water and I tackled my kids. I felt that current pull so hard and grabbed her ponytail and wrapped it around my arm like a rope and pulled her in. And then her sister was next and they both had long hair and grabbed whatever I could of her. And I fought that effing riptide all the way in. And me and my husband at the time, we were laying in our tent that night and we were just like the realization of we almost lost both of our kids that day to a riptide hit us. It was pretty magnanimous.
Yeah, and they're in forks.
And yeah.
Just to make it worse. How long did it take you, once you got a hold of them, to drag their ass out of the water?
I don't know how long it took. You know, when you're in a traumatic situation like that, it feels like forever.
Of course.
But I, at that point in my life, I was swimming for triathlons.
Oh, okay. So well, that helps. Damn. That really did help.
I'm pretty good in the water, but my six-year-old, she later on said, I kind of knew something was wrong, and I dug my fingers into the sand, and I felt like I knew as long as my hands were in the sand, I knew I was going to be okay. But if I got out of the, if my hands got out of the sand, I was gone. At 6 years old, she recognized that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think survival instinct kicks in quick. It just sucks to be that young and have to go through that.
Have you been back to Forks?
Have I been back? I have been back.
Why?
It took me a while. It took me a while to go, and I did go back to that spot, and I did meet the water. The ocean is my favorite place to be.
Okay.
But I have a deep respect for the ocean. My boyfriend calls me a little otter.
I would have
but that's because of your face.
I would have a deep respect for the Lake Quinault Casino and Steakhouse, and I would be in a hotel room there, and then I'll do the day drive. How's that? I'll meet you there.
I mean, peninsula is beautiful.
Yes.
I've been out there a couple times. Yeah. I mean, just even like, as I say, going into Forks, like right there on the Salduck River, there's a big famous lake out there. Like Forks is a town on the middle out there. It's a little sad and depressing.
So basically, right, everything's beautiful until you get to your destination.
And then when you go past Forks, then there's La Push. There's a few really just stunning beaches.
Yeah, and we did all the beaches. So, you know, from then on, it irritated my kids, but anytime we would go to the beach, we'd go to the ocean. I also grew up riding horses, you know, and I've been trained with the mindset you fall off, you dust yourself off, you get back on the horse, you know, broken arm and all. That's actually another true story. I rode my horse out with a broken arm. And so I took my kids back and we sat back and I showed them. I said, okay, see that right there? See that right there? See that calm water that looks like that's where you want to swim? I said, that's where you almost died.
Thanks, Mom.
Yes. Then a creeper wave came up. Washed y'all back in.
There. I said, so if you want to swim, you got to look for these poles right here. And ever since then, anytime we would go out and we'd be on the beach or we'd be out, I'd see families having fun and I'd see little kids near these poles. And I'd go up to the parents and I would say, look at that, look at that, look at that. Get your kid out of the water. Almost lost mine.
Yep. Yeah, so you know what you're looking for.
Well, Nicole, just some of the sex events, the same thing happened to me and my sons in Forks at the beach. The water is vicious.
I've been on that beach. I've never been in that water.
Apparently, don't do it.
No.
That seems to be the message from everyone.
Mm-hmm. What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon.
Hola.
Okay, so I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we lived, I don't know if you guys know the town Bountiful, it's right next to Salt Lake. There's rivers, there are creeks that come down during the snow melt, and most of the year there's nothing really there, just a little trickle of water, but in the springtime, they're running pretty good, and most of the way they're just a natural river, but as they go through the city, they turn into a canal. So it's a concrete canal with chain link fences on either side. So my sisters were like, hey, wouldn't it be fun to float this? I'm like, well, yeah, let's go. So it was me, my three sisters, and a couple of their friends. So we put in right before the chain link fence, and we're like, let's see where it takes us. And it went through the city, through the town, under a couple roads. But then there was this huge four-way intersection, and it went down into a tunnel. Ooh, and we couldn't see. We couldn't see anything. It was pitch black. And you could hear water rushing ahead, and I was thinking we were going to get impaled by a branch that was stuck sideways in the tunnel. But it dropped about 10 feet, just a sudden rushing drop, and then another, I don't know, black space for a while, and we came out. All in all, it was probably a 20-minute ride, but it was the scariest time of my life in that tunnel.
You're saying 20 minutes in the tunnel?
No, 20 minutes total from where we got in to where we got out on the other side of town.
And then you what? You hiked your ass back on a raft?
No, we had two cars. We dropped one at the other end of town.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, but we didn't really know where, you know, we knew where point A and B was, but in between, it was a total question mark.
How terrifying was it when you're in pitch black?
It was scary because you couldn't see anything at all, like in nothing. But the funny thing is that we had so much fun that the next year we did it again, but this time we brought headlamps and wetsuits.
I was gonna say, was the roof covered in bats?
I couldn't see it the first time, but the second time it was just moss. It was just
all right,
dirty.
Okay, because anytime I've been underground or in a situation where there's running water and you know it's covered and it's cold or it's, you know, bats everywhere.
Sure.
It's kind of like their hangout, you know. What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Melinda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, my story, when I was in college, I took a sailing and canoeing class. And I loved sailing. I just thought it was great. And these were really small boats. They only held, like, two people. So, when I got out of school, I decided I was going to get my own sailboat. So I got a boat about the same size, and my sister and I took it out on Lake Washington probably in May, so it's still pretty early in the year. And when we were out there, this huge storm came up, and there was big white caps crashing over the boat, and we couldn't control the sail at all. And we could just feel ourselves tipping over, and we learned how to right a sailboat, you know, get it upright again, but we couldn't do it. The water was so cold, we had no energy, and so the sailboat ended up tipping completely upside down, so mast pointing downwards. All we could do was crawl on top of the hull and just lay there, and some people saw us, so they called the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard came out and rescued us and got the boat upright and towed us into shore.
Now,
really embarrassing. A lot of people were watching.
Well, I mean, I get it, but life or death, like, I'm not embarrassed yet. But what is their methodology with rescuing off the hull of the boat? I mean, it's probably not a helicopter rescue, so that what? Toss you a rope? Toss you a ring? What?
You know, that part's a little fuzzy because I remember just being so cold. I don't really remember what was going on, but somehow they got the boat tipped upright because, you know, with the mast pointed down, they can't get it too close to shore and dragging in the mud. So. But anyways, you know, I was embarrassed. And I decided I needed more sailing lessons. So I signed up for a class through Lake Washington. And on the first day of class, it turned out our instructor was one of the Coast Guard guys that rescued us.
Did he remember you?
I bet he was pumped to see you in class.
He did. He looked at me and he goes, "You're the girl we rescued." So,
Small world. That's crazy.
But like Ted said, probably glad. Like, I'm glad you're taking another class.
Right. You guys could use this course.
What happened in the water? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So here we are. There's about 12 of us. One nice, hot, sunny day. About 3 years ago, we were floating down the river, kids and everything, we're all watching out for each other. And we pulled off to the side in this one area, right out. It's the only area that has rapids in the area up in, I believe, Arlington area. That is where we were floating down the river. And so we pulled off to the side and had snacks. Well, these two little old ladies and their dog came floating down the river behind us. And they're probably in their 60s, you know. And so the first lady, she goes through, and the second lady comes behind her, and her inner tube dips down, and she gets sucked under this white water, this rapid area, and there's this fallen tree on the other side, and she gets pushed up under in between two branches and stuck there. Her dog goes a little bit further down, but we'll get to that in a second. So me and my brother, Sean, we ran, and we dove into the river, and we swam to this woman, and we got her. He pulled the branch back. I pulled her out. We got her to the side of the river. Sean went back down and found the dog that was, like, attached to a tree floating, trying to swim. And after we got them out, it was about 15 or 20 minutes before we saw the next person come down the river. And I looked at those ladies, and I was like, you could have died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably like, yeah, we know. Or at least we knew at the moment we were stuck in the branch.
That's why I like Oregon for a float. The water's warm. It's calm like the Sun River. It's just kind of hang out and chill. Yeah. Waist deep. You can stand up if you want.
And that guy just described Mike's worst nightmare.
Doesn't get too crazy.
What, like getting trapped? Well, you said you're close enough to the surface to see people trying to help you, but...
Or at least that I could see air up there, yeah. Just underneath the surface. I don't know why that's worse. Drowning probably is my worst fear of death. But to be that close, it's almost like torturing me with life.
It's like people that get stuck under the ice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And all you hear is people...
horrifying.
Still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less coming up in about 20 minutes, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.